Rat Pack, where you at?
What's going on? It's the FTM Fantasy Football Podcast. My name is Jeff Ratcliffe, and it is Monday, November 27th, week 12, almost in the books here. We got one more game left. No Justin Jefferson for that game. Surprise, surprise. I'm not surprised. We won't see him until week 14. The Vikings honestly don't necessarily have to win this game. It'll help if they win it, but their playoff picture or chances remain essentially the same without a win. Regardless, I digress. Let's talk about the week that was for football purposes. And we're actually going to start on the Friday game. I realize I haven't recapped that here. So let's get into it. Miami 34-13 over the Jets. Miami, I mean, it was three players. It was Tyreek Hill, 9 for 102 and 1. It was Jaylen Waddle, finally a big game here, right? 8 for 114 on 8 targets. And Raheem Mostert, and he had one of those like Derrick Henry games where it really wasn't that good until it was great, right? Because of rushing touchdowns. Somewhat quiet, but ends up with 20 for 94 and 2 touchdowns. Will Achan be back this week? I sure as hell hope so. I really do. Tua was good enough, 243 and 1. They really didn't have to do that much. I mean, they had a pick 6 on a Hail Mary. Like, when does that happen? On the other side, well, Tim Boyle is not the answer, but I think we already knew that. He did at least throw a passing score to Garrett Wilson. Garrett Wilson had 7 for 44 in the score. Good enough, right? Good enough. And that's all I've been hoping for with Garrett Wilson since the Aaron Rodgers injury, and he's been that. The kid is fantastic. If he had a real quarterback, he'd be an elite fantasy option, and I don't have any doubt there. Breece Hall, 7 for 25, but 7 for 24 as a receiver. So he gets you 9.4 PPR points, gets you to double digits, and that's good enough. Will they go to Trevor Siemian? Maybe. Will Aaron Rodgers practice this week? I don't know. I mean, Ian Rappaport said he was, but this is going to be a bit of a medical miracle. I really don't expect Rodgers to be back on the field this season. All right, let's move to the next contest. A contest with implications on the postseason. New Orleans, Atlanta getting it done, and they moved into first place. Now, they're 5-6, but remember, Tampa won the NFC South with an 8-9 record last year. They were just the sixth team in NFL history to make the postseason with a losing record. Somebody's got to win this division, and I don't know who it's going to be, but somebody has to win the darn division, and as of right now, that's somebody, it's Atlanta as of now. But honestly, when I look at the standings, so Atlanta has the edge on New Orleans because they're 3-0 in the division. But Tampa is only one game behind. Tampa's 4-7 right now. It wouldn't surprise me if Baker led the team to the playoffs. It wouldn't surprise me if New Orleans just figured, all right, we are really the best team of the bunch, so let's just right the ship and get this thing done. Carolina's out of it, and I'll talk about them a little bit more in a bit. But here's what we saw on the Atlanta side. Desmond Ridder looked like Desmond Ridder. He threw two picks. He ran a little bit, looked decent enough as a runner. You know, that's the area of his game that I think he actually is good at. But decision-making, still not there. However, he did enough to sustain a little bit of value for Drake London, 5 for 91, not bad. And he connected with Bijan for a passing score, 3 for 32 as a receiver, 16 for 91 as a runner. Okay, I'll take that version of Bijan. I'll take 19 touches. So back-to-back, high-volume games, and then we see the result. The kid's fantastic. So that is at least good. Not much else doing here. By the way, Jonnu Smith, no involvement in the passing game. Kyle Pitts, I mean, they only had 21 passing attempts. Kyle Pitts only ran 12 routes. They're using all four of their tight ends. It's a mess for fantasy purposes. It sucks because we're squandering Kyle Pitts' talent. And I know some people hate him, whatever, but the kid is very talented, and we're just not seeing him used that way. All right, on the other side, Chris Olave got off to an amazing start, 7 for 114 on 9 targets. And then, of course, we can't have nice things. He was concussed, left the game. Derek Carr was essentially left with no receivers at that point because Michael Thomas out, right, on injured reserve. Olave left the game. Rashid Shaheed left the game. So, you know, did the best with what he had. But there really wasn't much doing here. I mean, Kamara, at least 4 for 50 as a pass catcher, 67 rushing yards. In a game where he doesn't score the touchdown, that's a pretty decent PPR line for no touchdown. It's not amazing, but pretty decent. Hopefully better days will be ahead here. Hopefully Olave can get through protocol quickly. Just a reminder, too, this week, Bymageddon. We have six teams on bye this week. Yay! Buffalo, Chicago, Vegas, Minnesota, the Giants, and the Ravens. And then next week, we'll round it out, the final two byes. Fortunately, with the final week of the fantasy regular season, I don't think Arizona or Washington is going to impact the landscape that much, but they are on bye in that final week. Let's see. Pittsburgh and Cincinnati. Let's do them next. Of course, Pittsburgh getting by Cincinnati 16-10. This was a game where it became pretty obvious Matt Canada was the issue. Now, the Bengals' defense is not bad whatsoever, but the Steelers finally topped 400 total yards, 421. That was the first time in 58 games they topped 400 total yards. That's the second longest streak in the past 30 years. They outgained the Bengals 421-222. That's the first time they outgained an opponent this season. All right, let's just put that into context. That's the first time they outgained an opponent. They're a 7-win team. This is not a team with like 3 wins. That's crazy. It's crazy. They have 20 wins with under 25 points scored in the last 3 seasons. It's the most of any team over a 3-year span in the last 30 years. All right, so what was working for the Steelers? I mean, Najee Harris was working, 15 for 99 and a score, 6.6 yards per carry. For Najee Harris, the plotter of all plotters, actually looked decent. Okay, check number one against Matt Canada. Kenny Pickett, solid, 278 through the air. No touchdowns, but I'm okay with that. He really got it going with Pat Freiermuth, 9 for 120. We'll talk more about Freiermuth tomorrow. Pickens and Deontay didn't have great games, but I'm actually encouraged for, you know, different reasons. Okay, so Pickens, only 5 targets, but he goes 3 for 58. That we can build on. Johnson, 4 for 50, but he had 8 targets. Okay, that we can build on for the stretch run. Jaylen Warren, a lot of people were questioning me about why I was ranking him just as a flex option. Well, this is why. It still comes down to participation. His ceiling is very high, but Najee Harris is going to play more snaps in most weeks. 53% snap share for Harris, for Warren, 48%. That's going to cap what Warren can do. High ceiling, but can't expect ceiling every single week. Jake Browning, honestly, not that bad. Very, very, very tough defense that he had to go up against. And he did enough to get 4 for 81 for Jamar Chase. Not the Jamar Chase with Joe Burrow that we're used to. But Jamar Chase with Jake Browning, if you can get me double-digit PPR points and I can continue to use you as a wide receiver too, I'm okay with that. There really was nothing else doing here. The team used a lot of 12 personnel, assuming that was to negate or to not negate, but to maybe try and go up against that pass rush there a little bit. But anyway, Joe Mixon, 8 for 16. Yee. 2 for 44 as a receiver, so at least he got you that. Carolina, Tennessee. Okay, so let's start with the big news here. The second head coach firing of the 2023 NFL season has officially happened. It was Frank Reich. Couldn't make it through last season with Indy. Can't make it through this season with Carolina. And wow, I think this is deserved. This team has been very bad. A 1-win team that, technically speaking, is in the first spot for the NFL draft. But they don't hold that pick. Chicago Bears fans are also Panthers, or Panthers opponents fans, let's say that, every single week. But the team is dreadful. And it makes things look even worse when you take a quick peek at Houston and see that this team drafted CJ Stroud at 2, they drafted Tank Dell a little bit later on, and all of a sudden, and obviously, you know, getting Will Anderson, it helped a little. But everything's working for them. So it's got to be frustrating if you're David Tepper. Frank Reich, out. All right. So there's not much to like here. I did catch a lot of flack. So I do this article, and I'll be honest. The article is, it's a free article. I don't put a ton of research into it. It's not going to be a premium article at FTN any year. It's a quick article of just some guys who I've noticed I am not getting in fantasy drafts. You could call them avoids, but typically it's not even that I'm avoiding them. They're just going earlier than I'm willing to take them in fantasy drafts, right? And so Adam Thielen made that list, and I caught a lot of flack when Thielen got out to the hot start. But the whole point of Thielen for me avoiding him wasn't necessarily for what he does in September and October. My concern was November and especially December. Older players at wide receiver tend to fade over the course of the season. This is not something new. This didn't just happen. It isn't a one-off. It happens every year with older players at the position. Every single year. Adam Thielen's 33. That is football old for a wide receiver. Football getting old at wide receiver, 30, 31, maybe 32. 33 is football old. And very few players will be able to sustain high-level production beyond that point at the position. I don't want to say it never happens. It does. But he's football old. And that was why I didn't want him. And then I caught flack again a few weeks ago when I said, hey, it's a good time to sell high on Adam Thielen. Well, I hope you did, because he had one catch for 2 yards in this game. And now, what, we've had one good performance in his last 5 games for fantasy? Is that right? I think it's right. And that was last week. There's just not much here. Chuba Hubbard got in the end zone at least, so there's that. He is clearly ahead. It's a 65-35 split in terms of snap share with him and Miles Sanders. It was almost on the nose, by the way. So he's still the lead. I guess there's some appeal there. We'll see if they can have like an inspired performance without Frank Reich there. We'll see, like the Raiders have, but the Raiders are a better team. Hubbard did have 5 for 47 as a pass catcher, by the way. Jonathan Mingo, 4 for 60, so there is some dynasty hope. On the other side, we got a Derrick Henry game. I was heavy on him in DFS. 76 rushing yards, 2 scores. And it was a total Derrick Henry game because it got started and it was like, oh no. Is he gonna have like 15 carries for 15 yards? But he was able to get it done in this very favorable matchup. And he was about it. I think Will Levis played decent football here. Like, it's encouraging for the future. He still has some growing to do, but it's actually good that the Titans get to use him this season. They're going to retain almost certainly Mike Vrabel. At least that's the initial indication here for next year. There's room to grow for Levis, but I think they're going to be able to do that here. So if you have him in Dynasty, that's good. Moving on to Tampa and Indianapolis. This was a fun game. And in a lot of ways, I think these two quarterbacks, like, they're very similar. They're like cut from the same cloth here in Gardner Minshew and Baker Mayfield. You know, very much so. On the Baker side, he did throw 2 scores. He exited the game briefly with an ankle issue, but 199 and 2, both scores going to Mike Evans. And he is having a hell of a season. 6 for 70 and the 2 scores. He now has 90 on the course of his career. He became the 15th player in NFL history with 90 career receptions. He's well on his way to another 1,000-yard season. It's amazing. It's really amazing. Also, the play of Rashad White has been very good as we've gotten into the thick of things here on this season. 15 for 100 and 2 for 10. It's one of those games that, unfortunately, like PPR, that's what, 14 or 13 points? That's not that great. It was a much better football game. He averaged 6.7 yards per carry. Much better football game than fantasy game, but still, he's an RB2 basically every single week. On the other side, Jonathan Taylor, 2 rushing touchdowns against a tough run defense, but this was a 60-40 snap share between him and Zach Moss. So it's still a timeshare, and Moss is playing good football, man. 8 for 55. A lot of Josh Downs targets. Not a lot of production. He had 13 targets, 5 for 43, but it's very encouraging that he had those targets. And, of course, Michael Pittman, another game with 8+. He goes 10 for 107. That is the 8th game this season where he's had 8+ receptions. This dude is a star, absolute star. I love Michael Pittman Jr. Let's move on to – oh, and he has 76 receptions, by the way. That's the most through 11 games since Reggie Wayne in 2012. New England and the Giants. Oh, boy. The Giants figured out a way to get this done in the rain. They they won 10-7. And one has to wonder how much longer Bill Belichick is going to be the head coach here of this really ugly Patriots team. I mean, they didn't have a starter, essentially, until the morning of. And that starter threw 2 interceptions and was replaced by a guy who was just as bad. threw an interception. Mac Jones to Bailey Zappe. I mean, it's crap to crap right now for this team. At least Ramondre Stevenson is doing well. 21 for 98 and a score. He's topped 80 rushing yards in each of his last three. He's really coming, you know, it's all coming together for him. He had 5 for 9. Only 9 yards as a pass catcher, but the 5 receptions in PPR is nice. Demario Douglas had a good game going, but then exited with a concussion. 6 for 49. Is Tommy DeVito a Brock Purdy? Perhaps a bit aggressive because he didn't have the start to his career that Purdy did. But he hasn't looked that bad over the last 2 weeks. He really hasn't. The conditions in this game were ugly. He did have the passing touchdown to Isaiah Hodgins. He was barely used, by the way. He only ran 7 routes. But it was the throws that he was making to Jalen Hyatt that I thought were impressive. 5 for 109 for Hyatt. We'll talk about him tomorrow. It was a down game for Saquon, but a weird game in general. I'm not overly concerned about Saquon Barkley at all. So Tommy DeVito, second quarterback since 1970 to win back-to-back games despite getting sacked 15-plus times. Mark Brunell was the last guy to do that. And the only other guy to do that. He is being sacked a lot. So I think that's the thing. It's not Purdy-esque in that regard by any stretch. Darius Slayton was doubtful coming into this one and played. So we'll hang on to that one for a while because I'm going to always say, oh, you know, it's rare that players will play when they're doubtful. Well, now, yeah, it's rare. It doesn't happen often. But now we can point to Darius Slayton. Yay. Jacksonville and Houston, this game lived up to it. A doink off the crossbar, or we could have went to overtime here in this one. Jacksonville pulling it out 24-21. Trevor Lawrence, second most passing yards in any game of his career. He had 364 here. 368 last season versus the Titans is his best. 4 completions of 40-plus yards. Another Mark Brunell reference. Get this. That's the most by any Jags quarterback since Brunell in 1996. So you got that. Calvin Ridley, 5 for 89. And guess what? He did all of that with the touchdown in the second half. It was an ugly first half for him, but he was able to right the ship. Let's keep an eye on Travis Etienne. He left the game briefly, was able to come back, but you know, a couple things. Like, we've seen players have that and then miss time after the fact. So we are going to have to talk about D'Ernest Johnson because it is pretty clear he's well ahead of Tank Bigsby now in terms of that pecking order. So we'll talk about him tomorrow. Evan Engram, 5 for 49, no touchdown again. The touchdown less streak, is that how we say that, continues here for Evan Engram. On the other side, CJ Stroud, another 300-yard passing game, 304 and 2. The two going to the two most important, as far as I'm concerned, Nico Collins, 7 for 104 in the score, and Tank Dell, 5 for 50 in a score. He has 7 touchdowns. This is the most by a rookie passer-receiver duo since 2012, and that duo in 2012 who also had 7, Andrew Luck and T.Y. Hilton. His 7 touchdowns is more than Andre Johnson and DeAndre Hopkins with the Texans in their rookie seasons combined. They had 6 combined. It's pretty impressive. Singletary. So it was a rough day on the ground, 6 for 18, but he had 6 for 54 as a pass catcher. Okay, I'll take that. And more importantly, check this out. Singletary, 81% snap share. Damian Pierce, 19%. It is now officially Devin Singletary's back. We didn't know, like, were they going to go 50-50 with Pierce back? Nope. It's Devin Singletary's backfield. Also, keep an eye on Dalton Schultz. I didn't see anything on him being banged up, but I don't understand why he only played 47% of the snaps, and why Brevin Jordan played 45% of the snaps. Cleveland, Denver, this is one of the things I love about the NFL. Things change so dramatically over the course of the season. And I often talk about fantasy this way. Like, people will freak the you-know-what out in September. And meanwhile, this thing's a marathon. It isn't a sprint. And in the second or the third quarter of the season, very different things can happen that will completely contradict what we thought back in September. And I'll tell you, back in September, I thought the Denver Broncos were the worst team in the NFL. Now we know it's Carolina. We know that now. But I thought the Denver Broncos, they gave up 70 points. They gave up 70 friggin' points in a game. And now look at the Denver Broncos. they are 6-5. They aren't in a playoff spot as of right now, but they're the number 9. They're ahead of the Buffalo Bills in the playoff picture. And when you look at some of the teams ahead, Cleveland is ahead of them. Like, can Cleveland really keep winning games? They're at 7-4, I mean, their defense is awesome. The Texans and the Colts are also there at 6-5. The Denver Broncos have a legitimate chance. Now, they're not a favorite to make the playoffs, but they have a legitimate chance. I love the NFL. In this game, Russ, hey, it wasn't a spectacular game, but against the Browns defense, yeah, 134-1. And then he ran for a touchdown as well. Ran 11 times. That's really the area where seems like he's more comfortable this year just because he is running. But 11 for 34 and the score there. The passing touchdown went to Troutman. I was down on Sutton anyway. But, I mean, 3 for 61, Sutton was good enough. No Judy in this one, basically 2 for 11. Javonte Williams ran hard, but that's a tough matchup. He had 18 carries for 65 yards. He also caught 3 balls for 6 yards. So I will take 21 touches out of him. Let's see, did he barely, he barely cracks double-digit PPR. All right, fine. But in a tough matchup, Denver got it done. On the other side, Dorian Thompson-Robinson actually played pretty well. I didn't hate what I saw there. The completion rate was low. It's still dink and dunk, but he did throw for 134 yards before getting knocked out of the game. He did have a passing score as well that went to Hunter Bryant. It was random, small school, tight end touchdown day because both Bryant and Harrison Bryant and Adam Troutman were FCS guys. Anyway, Jerome Ford, I wish there were more touches because he was great in this game. 9 for 65 on the ground, 4 for 14 as a pass catcher. If you gave him 20 touches, could have been a monster day. It wasn't in the cards here. 6 for 59 for Njoku, another 9 targets. So he is exactly who Dorian Thompson-Robinson wants to throw to, provided he clears concussion protocol. Amari Cooper banged up, 2 for 16 for him. We'll talk about Cedric Tillman and Elijah Moore tomorrow in case Cooper does miss any time. Rams, Cardinals. Are you happy Kyron's back? Because I am, baby. Ear to ear. Kyron Williams was spectacular in this game. He goes for 204 scrimmage yards, has 2 receiving touchdowns. He's the first player in NFL history with 125-plus rushing yards in back-to-back games against the same team, which is really hard to do because the schedule won't permit. But because he missed that time, it ends up both being against the Cardinals, and he just destroys them in both games. Really awesome stuff there for him, seeing him back on the field. Second Rams running back in team history with 200-plus scrimmage yards and 2 receiving touchdowns in the same game. The only other player to do it, 2017, Todd Gurley. Kyron Williams has been awesome. Such a surprise. And I think in a lot of ways, he's emblematic of the entire team. Such a surprise this team has been this season. And, you know, are they spectacular? No, of course not. But they are 5-6. And right now, they're in the 9 spot in the playoff picture. Matthew Stafford, 4 passing touchdowns, of course, 2 to Williams, 2 to Tyler Higbee. All right, whatever. 5 for 29 and 2 scores. I got asked, is Cooper Kupp no longer fantasy relevant? And I think that is such an overreaction to a game they blew their opponent out in. They didn't need to use him. They didn't use him. Plain and simple, but I'm not going away from Cooper Kupp. I'm not going to let one game dissuade me here. On the other side, Kyler did score as a runner. Again, that was his only carry. He threw 1 passing score. It went to Greg Dortch, who was a decent enough punt in DFS. 3 for 27 and the score for him. Trey McBride, 7 for 60 on 9 targets. I love that usage. And how about this? Marquise Brown finally used 12 targets, 6 catches, 88 yards. I will take that all day long for Marquise Brown. We saw a little Michael Carter towards the end of this game. I'm not really alarmed. Like, there wasn't much doing here for James Conner. Unfortunately, he caught 4 balls for 5 yards. All right, 4.5 PPR points. 6 for 27 as a runner. Like, he wasn't bad. He just didn't have enough volume. That was the problem. Not enough volume. All right, let's move along to Kansas City, Vegas. Vegas got off to a good start, but it wasn't sustainable. And it's like, you have Patrick Mahomes. You're like, yeah, all right, we're down by 14. Fine. He's going to go and win the game. And he did. He is 15-11 in games over the course of his career where he's trailed by 10-plus points. Let me say that again. 15-11 in games where he's trailed by 10-plus. He wins more than he loses when he's down by 10-plus. That is insane. He's the only quarterback since 1950 to have a winning record when trailing by 10 points. So awesome. It's so awesome. That was the third largest comeback of his career, by the way, including the playoffs. They were down by 14 at one point here. So I think he may have found himself his receiver finally, because Rashee Rice exploded here, 8 for 107 and a score that was a 39-yarder on 10 targets. I had some questions about Justin Watson or Rice or who was it going to be. Watson made too many mistakes last week. Rice doesn't make those same mistakes. This was the first 100-yard receiving game by a Chiefs wide receiver since week 7 of last season. So that drought is over. And this is also the most receiving yards by a rookie wideout for the Chiefs since Dwayne Bowe back in 2007, somewhere over Dwayne Bowe. That was the Hard Knock season, by the way, for them. So Rashee Rice, pretty good. No Mecole Hardman. He's on injured reserve. No Kadarius Toney. He took advantage of it, and that's exactly what I want to see guys do. 6 for 91 for Kelsey. Okay, very good. Isaiah Pacheco finally scoring some touchdowns here. 15 for 55 and 2, but also 5 for 34 as a pass catcher with no Jerick McKinnon. That helped. Josh Jacobs topped 100 yards, second time in the last three games he's done so. He didn't do so at all in the beginning of the season, so this is good. 20 carries is good. The rushing touchdown, he looked like himself. All of that good. 4 for 15 as a pass catcher. Davante Adams, okay, so it was 5 for 73. Not great, but honestly, I don't mind that if I have Davante Adams. If I get to double digits, I'm okay there. Aiden O'Connell looked pretty good. Like, it wasn't amazing, but he looked pretty good in this one. 6 for 79 and a passing score for Jacoby Myers. So if we're getting all this, it's starting to click a little bit here. This is good for this Vegas team. Do they retain Antonio Pierce? That's an interesting one. All right, the game of the week, the game of the season, Philly defeating the Bills in an epic game where Josh Allen was about as good as we've seen him. 339 and 2. He did throw an interception. It was a really nice play by James Bradbury, though. So I'm not gonna go too heavily on Allen there. But he was unstoppable as a runner. He goes 9 for 81, two scores in the wet weather in this game. He was awesome. Gabe Davis, we got our Gabe Davis game. All right, everybody. We can check out now. We got our Gabe Davis game. 6 for 105 and a score. Could have been two scores if he would have chosen the other direction on that option route. Stephon Diggs, 6 for 74 and a score. Somebody said, asked me if he's in the doghouse. He had 11 targets, so I don't think so. James Cook, tough one on the ground, 16 for 43 against that really tough Eagles defense. But he did catch 6 balls for 57. Of course, he didn't catch the one crucial one. But regardless, overall, not too shabby for him. On the other side, Jalen Hurts, in a game where he doesn't have big time yardage, he still throws for 3 passing scores, one to A.J. Brown, one to Devontae Smith, one to Olamide Zaccheaus, and that was his only catch for Zaccheaus. But Smith, 7 for 106 and a score, 5 for 37 and a score for A.J. Brown. Smith is really good when there's no Goddard. Now, Goddard's pushing to get back. He could, there's an outside chance he's back this week. If not, week 14 looks like is now the target, which is pretty interesting. But, of course, Jalen Hurts with only 200 passing yards. Yeah, well, he rushes for 65 and two scores, including the game winner. Pretty awesome. Not overly concerned with DeAndre Swift. 14 for 80 was a very nice day. It just doesn't show up as a nice day for fantasy purposes, but I'm not overly concerned. He's had a heck of a season, and he's still clearly, they're not sprinkling in Kenneth Gainwell or Boston Scott any more than just a handful of snaps each game. So that's good. All right, let's round it out with the final game here, Baltimore and the Chargers. Baltimore hold and serve here, really didn't need to do much. Their defense is so stinking good. But Lamar does throw a passing score to Zay Flowers, who he also ran for a score. Flowers 1 for 37 in the score as a runner, 5 for 25 in the score as a pass catcher. Lamar chipped in 39 rushing yards. So not the biggest game for Jackson. Isaiah Likely, 4 for 40. Okay. I think he is just a streamer. But he'll be a decent enough streamer to go forward if you've rostered him. I don't think it's terrible right now. Check this out, though. Keaton Mitchell, 9 for 64. That's 7.1 yards per carry. He also caught 2 for 25, which is pretty good for a running back. That usually see running backs at about 7-8 yards a catch, so pretty good. 11 touches. More importantly, check this out. Keaton Mitchell, 46% snap share. All right, I'd love to see it a little higher, but I'll take that. Gus Edwards, 26%. And Justice Hill, by the way, 29%. So Keaton Mitchell, the lead back in this game, surprisingly enough. Moving over to the other side, Justin Herbert, 217-1, but did run 4 times for 47 yards. He's decent as a running quarterback. We had pretty much Keenan Allen, and that was it. 16 targets, caught 14 for 106. Another game of 11-plus. He has the NFL record, and he just keeps extending it. And he is on pace for a massive receptions total when this is all said and done. On the season, he has 97 already. That's roughly, 8.8 per game, which would put him on pace, get this, if you do the math here, for 149.9. So in other words, 150 catches. Holy crap if he's able to do that. I mean, 150 is insane. That would obviously be the NFL record. But even so, I mean, even if it's 140, that's still insane. And Allen is doing it. He's got 129 targets on the season. By the way, his career best for receptions, 106. He did that in 2021. So he could pass that in week 12. Now, granted, he did have 114 games played in 2020. Let's see. Yeah, that was probably the best pace of his career. But this special stuff. Austin Eckler was good enough here. I mean, it was a tough matchup. 10 for 32 is not going to get it done, but he at least caught 5 for 32, so he was able to barely top double digits. I mean, in a game like this, that's about all you could ask for. All right, that's going to wrap it up for today. FTNFantasy.com. If you are listening to this on Monday, we do still have a Cyber Monday sale going. Promo code GRAVY will get you 40% off on any FTN subscription. FTNFantasy.com, FTNDaily.com, FTNBets.com. Take advantage of that. I've never seen us go to 40% before, but really nice deal. And you can get the annual. If you get the annual, 40% off on a whole year. That's big time savings right there for Cyber Monday. At Jeff Ratcliffe on Twitter, at Jeff Ratcliffe on Instagram. And tomorrow I'll be back talking waiver wire for week 13. Can you believe it? All right, I'll catch you on the flip side for another edition of the pod. I'm Jeff Ratcliffe, and I'm out.